The Locals Only Podcast with Gavin Glass, bringing you the best new Irish talent every week from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
Another artist who I greatly admire is in here with me, the late David Turpin. David, you are very welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. I'm delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
David, you, like Stano, are very much an artist who has done things exactly on their own terms, with your own vision, and has never, in my mind, wanted to be in any trend or, you know, just was very much uniquely you.
I don't think they'd have me. I don't think any. I am, you know, I mean, I suppose it's not for want of interest in what's happening, but I've never been able to, play along.
Play the game. Well, that, you know, that is a sign of a true artist, that, you know, if you have that bravery and stones, if you'll forgive my language, to just do it on your own terms. But I'm going to let the music do a little bit of the talking. We're here to talk about Romances, your latest album. Is this album number three?
This is album number four. First in 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the concept later, but just to give our listeners, our lovely Nova listeners, a kind of a ballpark pitch of what it is. You've approached some of your favourite singers to lend their vocals, and you shied away from the mic on this record.
Yeah, I don't sing on it at all. There are 12 different singers on it, I think. You know, I'm just tired and bored with myself, paraphrase.
I'm going to get some coffee into you now, and then we're going to have a friendly wrestle while I play this. This is Lucifer, and this was the first single off the, it was a taster off the album, and in, you know, the late David Turpin style, it was released on the day that Il Papa visited us.
Yeah, it was. It was supposed to, you know...
Tell me, David, was that deliberate?
Well, you know, I mean, the Pope ended up flopping without any help from me, so...
Let us take the beautiful dulcet tones of Martin McCann on this track. Martin is the singer of Elevens and Sack, and in my mind, he is one of the great voices to ever have come out of this country. This is Lucifer, the late David Turpin, featuring Martin McCann.
Have you ever felt a bluebird on your palm? Held a frail life in your hands? How could I have ever known how lost you were when I wished for you, my falling star? You're the reason I don't cry out when I burn. You're the reason for the ice at the top of the world. Have you ever held the world in a cherry stone? When the ground's this cold, nothing grows. Oh.
I got caught on the hop there. Sorry, I was just daydreaming there to the beautiful sound of Martin McCann and featuring on the late David Turpin's track. Sorry, yeah, God, I totally zoned out into daydream Midnight Cowboy Bliss there. So tell me about this record. There's 12 different singers.
Yeah, there's 12 different singers and they're all men. Because the record is predominantly about romance and love and sex and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
we usually, it seems to be that sort of male electronic musicians make songs about that and then kind of ask a woman to ventriloquize their feelings about it. And I think it's kind of weird and sexist and stuff. So I thought it would be interesting to take those kind of themes that are often sort of denigrated as being, you know, beneath men or whatever weird thing people think, and put them into men's mouths. Feel forgive the disgusting imagery.
That's okay. it's quite evocative. But your music has always been, to me, I've always got a sexy vibe off your music. And, you know, I remember seeing you 10 years ago and it was blatant. Like, I loved how brave and you were about, like, you know, I want people to feel sexy.
I never felt sexy at the time.
Did you not?
No, I mean, but, you know, I mean, when I think of the music that I really enjoy, you know, it's a good and wholesome thing to feel sexy. There's nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, it's very healing.
It's the most natural, you know, as soon as you're, you know, a little bit of an, I don't get into any trouble with the broadcasting and things because there's a curfew, but yeah, sexy's good. I like sexy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you, again, it's something that's sort of trivialized, and I think it's why, you know, if you look at publishing and stuff, you know, books about romance, books about sex, you know, they sort of put them in a different section of the bookshop and everyone sort of looks down on them and you kind of laugh at them as things that people buy in service stations and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, it's the most provocative and it's the most, you know, it's the subject that we're all engaged with to some degree. And I don't know why we have to kind of belittle it.
Taboo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in this country.
Yeah,
I want to play this. I've actually played this the last 2 weeks. It's will you pronounce it for me? Because I was calling it Callicrates. It's Callicrates.
Callicrates.
Yeah, and I would call it Callicrates for the first week.
That's
until great. Some Greek and Roman student corrected me on it and really tutted me, which is my fault. I know.
That's okay. It's not actually that Callicrates, though. It's not the Greek one.
It's not the architect dude.
No, this is from, there's a novel called She by Rider Haggard, who wrote King Solomon's Mines, which was made into a great film in the 1960s with Ursula Andress. If you remember this film.
Oh, I remember Ursula. Better than the Richard Chamberlain version.
Uh-huh. And in She, Ursula Andress is playing She Who Must Be Obeyed, who is a kind of goddess who lives forever by bathing in a blue flame. And 2,000 years ago, she murdered her lover, Callicrates, and she's bathing in this blue flame awaiting his reincarnation.
So. And John Dotts has taken on the role as storyteller on this one.
As Ursula Andress, yeah.
I love John Dotts. I've been I don't get too much music from him, but whenever I do, I always give it a spin. It's the late David Turpin, who is very much alive and well, and is my live guest here in Nova. It's Local Zoney with your host, Gavin Glass, supporting the wealth of amazing and innovative and brave artists that are up and down this fair isle of ours.
Hello, sir. May I touch your pony? Will he bite me? Will he hold me? Hello, sir. I heard you're lonely. Does your mansion by the shore just not thrill you like before? We met, I don't know why I thought I could come back. what we used to have. The rabbit has a dark eye. Now I know you've got another side. I can't think why you try to hide it. They can never look quite like I. Recall me on your wedding night. I don't know why I thought you'd understand. When there's nothing left of what we used to have. Just to breathe. Calligraphies invert the ocean over me. Oh, calligraphies turn. Wait for me at all.
That was John Dots singing on Calligraphies from the late David Turpin from his album Romances. Now, David, I remember you reaching out to me when you started this project.
Yeah.
So it was something you'd kind of, it's been in the pipeline for a while.
Years.
Yeah.
Since, I think I've been recording this since 2000 and... early 2015 maybe, or 14, and it just takes a long time. You know, I in my naivety thought, you know, I wouldn't sing, so I would get everyone in who was a much better singer than me and everything would roll much faster, but it didn't, just doesn't work out that way when you're working with 60 people,
so. Yeah, because the linear notes are going to be pretty pretty big on this with all the different musicians. You've reached out to so many different people, like. But that was obviously an intentional thing. Was that, you know, but it's still unmistakably and undeniably, it's still David Turpin, you know. How did you manage to corral that into, you know, because I think I remember one stage I was playing banjos and mandolins and all these kind of things.
Did,
you know, so like, how did you make that all work?
I've always been interested in kind of hypnosis and... ventriloquism and these kind of weird ideas of how you can speak through somebody else's mouth or you know, act through somebody else's body. You know, and there's a certain type of performance I like, you know, slightly affectless, kind of slightly narcotic kind of Kubrickian flatness that I try to get out of people. But, you know, there's no point working with other people if you're trying to mold them into something that's exactly, you know, if you have a pinpoint vision of what you want, you should really acquire the skills and do it yourself. So when you invite somebody in, you have to let them
bring some of that personality.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even if it's just the shape of their mouth or the language that they speak or any of these things that will condition the way they sound, you have to allow it to be there, you know.
Yeah. I want to play Unsolved Mystery, and I just I love the sound of this. Like, you just nailed that nostalgic kind of almost Agatha Christie sort of Poirot afternoony kind of BBC Two drama. But before I play it, you obviously have a great love for film and all things art, but you recently, like, you wrote that wonderful it is a horror. Can you say horror or a thriller? I don't know. But The Lodgers, can we talk about that for a little second? Because that was an incredible piece of work.
Major motion picture.
Motion picture. It did the rounds, you know, Hollywood.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a co-production with America, yeah. So I didn't get to go to Hollywood or anything, but people in Hollywood did have their fingers in it, yeah.
Do strike me as a guy who never loses shit, but I mean, that must have been so exciting to see all this unfolding and, you know, like...
I'm like twitching. A film moves very slowly, so you don't, you know, when you don't have that sort of Star Is Born kind of scenario where somebody phones you in the middle of the night and tells you, you know, you're going to Hollywood. That doesn't happen. It's really interesting is what it is, watching a film come together and the difference in my role in a film to my role in a record where I'm sort of the boss and what I say goes, you know, and it's not like that in a film because you're dealing with, well, aside from everything else, you're dealing with sums of money that are just abstract to my mind.
It was your story that they made the movie on.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much did you start losing kind of the essence of your story, and or did that happen at all, or is that?
It's weird. I mean, people ask about that, and they say, "Well, you know, the it's your baby. How do you feel about it?" And when people say that, I think when they refer to something as your baby, what they mean is, you know, you have ownership of it or something. But that's not what a baby is. You know, you bring a baby into the world and then it gets molded by many hands and becomes its own person.
Yeah.
And in that sense, the film is like my baby. So, I mean, it's my story, it's my screenplay, but it's not my film. It's the director's film, it's the producer's film. It's the lead actress's film, probably more than any of those people.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Okay, well, the album's going to be out in February. This is the latest from the late David Turpin, musician, artist, and, you know, Hollywood screenwriter. This is Unsolved Mystery featuring Jamie Nancy. Tell me a little bit about this one.
Well, when I didn't know most of the singers before I asked them to be on the record.
Did you not?
No.
Good man.
Well, I mean, I knew some of them.
Yeah.
But most of them I didn't. And I asked Jamie, and I think the first time we met, we talked about how, you know, our love of kind of, I guess, sort of true crime and true mystery stories and stuff like that. And this is actually one of the only songs on the record that was written for the singer rather than being written and then a singer came. And, you know, I mean, I guess at root, there used to be this program on Sky One when I was about 10 called Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that.
And everyone watched it for the UFOs and stuff. But occasionally they would do a story about a missing person. And I always liked them best. And I don't know what I thought at 10, because I'm sure, you know, most of these poor people were murdered or what have you. But I used to think of them as people who had literally, you know, disappeared. They had disappeared themselves out of their lives. And, you know, like a lot of children, I mean, I thought about that a lot, about disappearing and what would the world be like if I wasn't here. And I guess the whole album is a way of trying to imagine a world that I'm in but not in, because, I, you know, they're my songs, but it's not my voice and stuff like that. So it sort of dovetails into this song, which is about, you know, that impulse that we have to vanish, to disappear.
Okay, let's go.
If you love me, let me be a ghost. I'll go down
Beautiful stuff. That is Jamie Nancy taking the vocal on that Unsolved Mystery from the late David Turpin's forthcoming Romances album. An album that's been a couple of, well, 6 years in the making, features a cast of over 60 musicians, 12 different singers.
Yeah, 12. Well, lead singers, and then there's choral singers and stuff as well.
I just got a lovely text in from Veronique. She's saying, "Hi, David Turpin. Plenty of love for you.
Thank you.
God bless you and Gavin Glass."
Oh. Thank you.
I want to talk about your creative process, though, of where it all starts. Like, does it start in you writing down lines on a notebook? I know you're a piano player and you always underplay that, but...
Yeah, I'm a terrible piano player.
Well, I hear very different from... a little birdie tells me very little different than you're a beautiful piano player, but however, where do these songs start?
It usually starts with an image or a word. I mean, when I was doing the vocals myself, it always started with words in the abstract sense. I mean, because I think as much as songs have to have meaning and stuff, singing is also a physical thing. It's something that you do, and you have to like the way it feels to say the word. And sometimes the meaning of it is secondary to that. And with these, I guess because I was stepping away from singing, I suppose I was, the kind of narratives behind the songs and stuff were more considered. But I mean, usually it starts with, you know, a scenario or an image or something. It's actually, for me, a song's actually a lot like a film, because it's, you know, it's got a certain degree of characterization. It's got an atmosphere above everything else. It's got, you know, it's got these things, and it's 3 minutes rather than 103, but I mean, the principle is quite similar.
So. Yeah. Do you kind of write with that kind of three act? I mean, if you're a screenwriter, do you approach it with that kind of, you know, it's something that I've actually started trying to do in my productions with artists, is to go, right, the song has to have three acts, not like as in verse, chorus, but like three emotive feelings in the song.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not great at that kind of slide ruler structure thing. Yeah. And that's a big, I mean, whatever about music, that's a big thing in film. People want to mechanize the process as much as possible for, you know, probably fairly good reasons. But there does, you know, there comes a time in making a record when you have to be quite methodical about it, particularly if you're working with a lot of little bits, as I was. So, but that tends to happen sort of later for me, the kind of rigid structuring part. I work a lot with...
I just want to talk about Steve, actually.
Yeah, I work with Steve and Shannon.
Who is, in my mind, one of the top producers out there. I've always just loved the sound of everything he does. What does he like to work with? What's his gig?
I've worked with him for 10 years.
Yeah, you've worked so close with him.
He's great to work with, obviously, or I wouldn't be. Well, I probably would still be doing it if he treated me terribly, but he doesn't. he's got a really strong sense of what would you call it? Like the plasticity of sound, the kind of molding of reverb,
how malleable and
and you know, the reverb tails and all this kind of jazz. He's very creative in his use of the technology, where, you know, a lot of the time, I don't think this is correct, but people tend to think of there being creative people and there being technicians and ne'er the twain shall meet. I mean, I don't think that's really the case, but he really is both of those things.
Well, he's a musician as well. It always kind of makes such a... David, there's a lot of love coming for you in on my text machine here. This is great. You've... a lot of people delighted to hear your back singing. I'm going to play one more from... the last two have been radio exclusives, I believe.
This Didn't one is a radio exclusive as well.
Fantastic. So. This features Samuel on the lead vocal, "The Arrow of a Sleeping Heart." Any little bit of backstory, a little bit of goss on this one for our faithful Nova listeners?
Well, Samuel is... he's bilingual. He speaks French. Well, I'm sure he has many other languages as well, but I know him as speaking French and English, and my French is terrible, but I always like Serge Gainsbourg and other less cool things like Voyage, Voyage and stuff like that. And I really wanted a song with French stuff in it. And I mean, the thing that I found when working with his voice is that when somebody is singing in a language that's not your language, or that you have a sort of looser understanding of, you hear it as sound much more, and there are things that happen in
French. The emotion as well, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, things that we would cut out if we were doing a vocal in English, you know, and you have these sort of weird mouth noises and stuff, they're so much part of the language.
Yeah.
In French. And that's a very inarticulate way of putting it, weird mouth noises. But, you know, the way that you use your mouth is different depending on what language you're speaking in. Spanish is, you know, it's a narrower sound. French has kind of you get this wonderful sense of the mouth in French. So I just found it really nice to work in another language.
And hear, yeah, somebody singing your art in a French accent. Say you were a very happy boy.
I was very happy. Yeah.
This is The Arrow of a Sleeping Heart from Romances, which I know is, from what I've heard of it already, it's a masterpiece.
Oh, well.
And I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
David Turpin.
Thank you.
It's Radio Nova.
Said the name of another man, even though no deceit can save us, we were never apart. Put the apple between my teeth for the arrow of a sleeping heart. Peut-il être seulement moi et toi?
Moi et toi.
Peut-il être seulement toi et moi? Up above, I like to watch you rest below. From the axle of your arm to the rising of your breast. But I know that no deceit can save us. Put a wine glass to the wall. You know, I know.
Is The Arrow of a Sleeping Heart featuring Samuel on the vocals there from the outrageously romantic Romances album, which is coming out in February. So what's going to happen now? Are we going to get some videos? Are we going to get like shows? Or are you just going to retreat and write more music?
I want to do a record with all women singers now. That's all I want is
really
lots of girls. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I was always more comfortable working with women, so this has been a sort of weird detour into into man land, and I'm sick of them. I'm sick of their crap. So I want to do that, and I mean, there will be videos and stuff early in the new year for it, and I have a new film that's shooting this winter. I'm just touching the nearest wooden object.
Tell me about this.
I don't think I'm allowed to.
Oh.
It's a mystery. It is a mystery, and it's a mystery.
Right. So, okay. Well, we'll leave it there. But is it like, you know, is it big time? Like Hollywood?
I hope so. It's an Irish film. I mean, we're filming in Ireland. So.
Fantastic. Well, listen, when the album comes out, be sure to get it into me, and I will keep playing your unique and wonderful music.
Thank you.
The late David Turpin, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
That's it for this week's Locals Only podcast. Join us next week for more, and of course, catch the show Sunday evenings from 6 on Radio Nova.
The Locals Only podcast with Gavin Glass. Seriously addictive podcasting from Nova.ie and Radio Nova. Radio Nova.